Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the Week 2 preview episode. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Joining me from College Station, Texas, where I departed from about 48 hours ago, is Mr. Walker Lott. Joining us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, home of the Thunder and other things, I think, Ryan Schroeder. Gentlemen, how are you doing? First of all, Walker, I'll start with you. How are you doing? How's College Station been in the 48 hours since I left? How are you feeling about this week in private school football?
It's missed you very much, but College Station is great. You know, a little sad right now because of the Notre Dame loss, but overall, firstly, a great week of Texas high school football, so that makes this week even better. So, but yeah, going good. Life's good.
Absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, same question to you.
It's been good. Finally, Labor Day weekend is finally over, but it was a great week one in total. I mean, it was an absolutely awesome weekend for us. Glad the recap episode is, you know, we started off with that. I love the episodes that we're doing, you know, half and half now. If you haven't already and you're expecting to get recap episodes, go back to the last episode that we just did. It's cool. I like the new style that we're doing. It allows for, I would say the episodes be more digestible, I'd say. It's exciting.
I agree. I don't think the vibes have ever been higher among the three of us for Texas private school football, so it's a fun time. And on that note, we have an incredible week of action to preview for you. But before that, we're going to go over some updated, revised overall rankings because we have to revise them because all of ours were wrong after the first week because everyone lost, apparently. So going over the new and improved overall rankings. Number one, surprise, surprise, Liberty Christian out of Argyle. They did not lose. Number two, Fort Worth All Saints. Number three, Parish Episcopal Falls after losing to Fort Worth All Saints. Number four, Plano Prestonwood. Number five, Houston Second Baptist. Number six, Austin Regents. Number seven, Kincaid out of Bel Air. Kincaid's not out of Bel Air. Number seven, Kincaid. Number eight, Bel Air Episcopal. Number nine, San Antonio Quarterstone. And number 10, Dallas Christian, falling down two spots. St. Thomas drops out of the rankings completely. Walker, these don't need a ton of explanation. It's pretty cut and dry. But anything that you just want to hit on really quickly after the massacre that was week one?
No, not really. Teams that lose go down. Teams that won go up. Parish, you know, there's an argument that Prestonwood could be above them, but I think after talking to you and seeing the game, like Parish kind of lost that one. If they play a good game, that game's a different story. So I think they deserve to go lower than All Saints, but not too far down. Dallas Christian loses to Cornerstone, who wasn't ranked. They have to fall to number 10. St. Thomas falls out of loses to a team and only puts up 14 points against a team that wasn't even in the top 10. So I think they have to fall out there, but everyone else kind of makes sense.
I would completely agree. Ryan Schroeder, what is your one thought regarding the overall rankings?
Yeah, I'm excited about this fourth All Saints Prestonwood matchup. I think it's going to give us a good idea of where Parish, All Saints, and Prestonwood should sit at the moment. It kind of gives us a little bit of judgment between those three teams. But other than that, I think this is exactly where, I mean, there's not a lot to talk about after week one. But overall, yeah, I mean, Dallas Christian as well, goes down two spots with how they lost, like we said, to Cornerstone. But overall, I think we'll see the shakeup. Obviously, this is not set in stone for sure, but definitely we'll get some more conclusion, at least after hopefully this week, for that top 2, 3, 4 spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Regarding that Prestonwood All Saints game, it'd be really cool if somebody covered that. Stick around to see if we mention that. Moving on, perfect segue to our top 5 games of the week. Let's just start with Austin Regents at Kincaid. Kincaid is a 14.5 point favorite, according to Massey Ratings. Annual disclosure, we don't make the ratings. I got this again at All Saints, and I'll get it as long as we live. We don't make the rankings. We pull them from a computer on Massey Ratings. So anyone asking me where the ratings come from, Massey Ratings, no, we don't make them. Disclosure gone. So I thought the predictions would get easier after week one. Turns out I was sorely mistaken. This Regents team is showing us that the title race in Division II is not close to decided. Sophomore quarterback Jack Devine threw for 410 yards and 7 touchdowns last week, whereas Blake Smith, who we've been very high on, caught 6 passes for 194 yards. For those mathematically challenged, that's 32 yards per reception. And oh yeah, he caught 4 touchdowns on top of that as well. You've also got to account for Roman Patson and Cade Millington out at wide receiver because he will hit those guys in space and they will go. Defensively, Prater, Reinches, and Kendall are going to try and kill you. Not a whole lot of weaknesses, it seems, for the perennial title contenders in the South. On the flip side, Kincaid has an impressive showing against one of the top programs in the state last week. While Wayne Shanks is the most electric part of their team, I think the Falcons' bread and butter is still their defensive scheme. The question is here, can they dial up pressure and make the sophomore uncomfortable? And I think they can, but I don't think it's enough to win. I love Kincaid. I haven't said enough good things about Larned, even though I've said it at length. It's just after the week one showing, and against a Lorena team that's not scrubby at all. Those dudes went deep in the playoffs last year. We had some questions after Quinn Murphy departed. Jack Devine is seeming to answer the majority of those questions. Blake Smith is an absolute weapon. I love their defense. I think this game, a 21.5-point spread is insane. Or sorry, a 14.5-point spread. I think the computer's just tripping a little bit there. All that being said, I think it's a 7-point game. I'm going to take Regents to win and hopefully improve my pick record marginally. Walker Lott.
Ooh-wee. I did not think you were going to take Regents in this one. That makes me not want to take them. But looking into this, man, I've been having to go back and forth on this. We just had to cut out like a good 5 minutes of me trying to think this through because I truly have no idea. I think this is going to be a great game. I think this is going to be a coin flip. I'm going to go with Regents as well because in the preseason previews, I gave a lot of hype about Jack Devine, and he proved me right in week one, and I really thank him for that. So I think this offense is going to be really good. I think it's going to be good. And also, Kincaid always loved being the underdog. They always like proving us wrong. So there you go. You're welcome. So both sides of the coin, I helped you out. So I will go Regents as well. Ryan, what are you thinking?
I think what I was going to do before you both picked Regents was I was actually going to pick Regents as my like upset in this game. But I probably am not going to at this point because although I am impressed by Jack Devine, you know, in their game last week, as well as obviously Blake Smith. I mean, I was listening to that Gunter game on the awful radio broadcast, if I'm being honest. And I can say that because Gunter's a public school team and we don't have to be nice to public school teams. You know, Regents obviously gets a great win against Lorena, I think is the name of that school. But something about 3A Gunter, a team that is absolutely incredible, 16-0, state champs last year, you know, and that's UIL 3A for those who don't know. But like, this is a team that is absolutely incredible year after year. And they had a couple guys get injured from what it looks like, from what I heard on the broadcast, as well as some things I saw online. So, you know, in my head specifically, I think Kincaid played an incredible game from what I could tell. Obviously, a pretty low-scoring game in the grand scheme of things. But that being said, you know, do I go with the team that apparently can only throw the ball? That's one thing I was going to say as well. No rushing touchdowns in the game against Regents last week against Lorena. They threw every single touchdown, and I don't think one rusher had over 50 yards. So you win by that much, and you don't have a rushing touchdown. I don't know why I wouldn't put anybody in the box. If I'm being honest, I'm totally kidding, but I think overall, in my opinion, I'm pretty set on Kincaid here, and I think there's a 9-point loss to Gunter would give me that reassurance that they'll do pretty well, especially at home with Austin Regents going to Houston Kincaid. I'm ready for the Austin Houston drive, hopefully to be in the favor of the boys at Kincaid.
Ryan, I'm very grateful for you for not taking Regents in this matchup, because yet again, we all know what happens whenever all three of us get on the same side of a game, as viewed last week several times. Walker, quick sidebar, I just wanted to mention the last episode I was wearing this hat and I had a little caddisfly, you know, stuck in the top when I was fishing. I think that fell off somewhere in your room, so just look around your carpet and be careful where you step. I don't need the fly back. I just don't want you to get a barb stuck halfway up your foot.
Well, we'll find out.
It's a little tiny fly. You'll be fine. I just wanted to make sure that my conscience is clear if that happens. Moving on, next game, Fort Worth Christian at Second Baptist. Second Baptist is a 21.5-point favorite in this one, which is also insane. The Cardinals will travel down I-35 to take on one of the best programs in Division II in Houston Second Baptist. SBS has instilled one of the best programs in the state, only made better with the addition of legendary coach Beck Bryden in 2023. Adding to that status is star athlete Bryce Butler. When you think of college prospect, you think Bryce Butler. 6'2", 210, fast, powerful, disruptive. This dude is a monster in the middle of the field and will test any offensive front. Speaking of offensive fronts, the Eagles might have the best tackle in the division in senior RJ Lee. The Houston commit stands at 6'8", 330 pounds, and makes it incredibly difficult for rushers to stand against him. Rounding out the three-headed monster will be Cannon Toon, one of the more gutsy dudes in the sport and a tremendous athlete at the quarterback spot. On the other side, Fort Worth Christian came into the season with a massive amount of hype, which paid off week one against Covenant. Landing somewhere in the ballpark of 20 transfers, Gunn and the Cardinals were one of the more aggressive teams in the portal, but their best weapon is one they're familiar with. Class of 26 defensive line slash tight end Tucker Ashford is a monster, garnering offers from Illinois, Wisconsin, and Cal. He is one of the best prospects in the state, regardless of classification. Factoring in Cade Crophaller, Dog, Landon Gigliotta, and faith transfer Colin Abercrombie, the Cardinals are out to prove that they are not just smoke and mirrors this season. This game is going to come down to the trenches. Can Fort Worth Christian handle Butler, and can Second Baptist contain Ashford? I really see this as a one-score game when the dust settles, but there has to be a winner. And I think that winner is going to be Fort Worth Christian. I know it's going off a lot of hype. It's a team that was, quite frankly, bad last season. I'm going to buy into the hype. If only for Tucker Ashford, which isn't the only reason, but say he's the only guy. That dude seems like he's taken such a big step forward. Even just watching his tape from last year, dude, he mauled people. Plus, Cade Crophaller is back. He's a year older. I loved him when I watched him against DC, regardless of outcome. And then Gigliotta throwing to him and other guys. I mean, dude, I really do think that if it's any year, it could be this year for the Cardinals. Not for a state championship. We're not getting crazy. But I think they could handle second in this one. Walker.
Man, it's going to be a good one. I'm really, really excited for this. You know, I think this game is also going to come down to the trenches again. Like Fort Worth All Saints Parish, it's going to come down to the trenches. It's going to be, can Lucas Mincing and RJ Lee block elite D linemen? And of course, Tucker Ashford, and also the new Division One offered, Adam Burns, the 26th defensive lineman. You have two D1 defensive linemen, DNs on both sides. Can those two tackles block him? Because Second Baptist has always been good in the run game. Having the great running back in Langston Davis is going to be a key piece of this. And I think he's a top running back in taps this year. And so if they can run the ball, I think Second Baptist wins. But the receivers, also underrated matchup, the receivers of Fort Worth Christian versus the DBs of Second Baptist. Adam Vessel and Ethan Dishman versus Kay Crophaller, Bo Pearson, Colin Abercrombie. Those are going to be matchups to watch. Who I'm going to pick? I'm going to pick Second Baptist. I think this is going to be a really good matchup. I'm going to pick the team at home. You know, Fort Worth Christian has to drive all the way down south, down 35 to 6, I'm guessing is what they'll do. Maybe take 45. No matter what, that's a long bus ride down there, and that's going to be a fun one for them. But give me bus fatigue. Give me just a smash-mouth football of Second Baptist. I think they get it done here. Ryan, what are you thinking?
I want to say this, you know, and I want to be very careful when I say this. I think Covenant Christian is a program that is definitely not comparable to how I want to look at Fort Worth Christian, right? This is the game that's really going to give me the insight of what I need to know about this team, because 63-3 on the surface looks insane. Like, that's an insane win, but I would like to see a potential D2 threat, you know, in a second game of the year. That's a perfect setup to how Fourth Christian is. With that being said, you know, Second Baptist gets a win last week as well at Wheaton Academy up in Illinois. A team that is, you know, a 4A semifinalist last year in the state of Illinois. But there's eight classifications in Illinois. And that absolutely means nothing to me either, because I don't care. Eight classifications? That's insane. So instead, I flip the script one more time, and I tell you, Tucker Ashford came up to me and said, "Hey, man, how are you?" at a Oklahoma State football game. And I said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm being recognized again? I put myself on the podcast and people know who I am again? That's crazy." I did a little, "Oh, my gosh." So for the boy Tucker Ashford and for the boys at Fort Worth Christian, for the amount of games I've covered in my time, I have Fort Worth Christian in the win here over Second Baptist.
One of us. One of us. Okay, Ryan, it's me and you versus Walker this episode. This is the slant that we're taking. I like it.
I'm pretty sure I had a different opinion for the first game, but that's okay.
You did, but I'm flipping the script anyways. I'm nothing if not a starter of controversy. But, I mean, I think it's a great game. Obviously, it's really going to tell us where Fort Worth Christian is, I think. And it'll be an exciting one to keep eyes on. We will have someone at that game, right, Walker? I think I saw that on the sign-up sheet.
Me.
Oh, yeah, you will be there. I can't believe I didn't lead off with that. Walker will be there. Yeah. If you didn't catch that, Walker Lot will be at this game.
Good.
An absolutely fantastic one. I'm incredibly excited to see the content that we grabbed there. Moving on to another Division I versus SBC matchup, Episcopal out of Bel Air versus Parish Episcopal. Parish is an 8.5-point favorite. Following a stunner against D2 favorites All Saints, Parrish won't have much time to lick their wounds as they take on SBC 4A champions Episcopal this Friday at beautiful, glorious Snyder Stadium. Even in the loss, Parrish's offense looks like the best in the state when they and the special teams aren't turning it over four times. The RPO action paired with Sawyer's ability to manipulate plays as they are happening, it's something you have to witness if you just love offensive football. However, the front raises a question mark. They did reload in the offseason, but guys like Liu, Picanio, and Weber are simply irreplaceable. The new blood has to move forward and make a statement this game against an elite team out of Houston. The wide receiver core will get theirs, especially with the departure of Braylon Thompson for Yale. As for EHS, the Knights walloped Waltrip in week one and will still have a ton of talent carryover. Wide receiver Brandon Thomas is one of the more electric players in the state, and he will test the Parrish front seven. Logan Barty will also be a problem split out wide. Morgan and Fowler will be beasts on the defensive side of the ball, and they'll have to contain Pyle and Fields on the outside. All in all, I don't want to make a knee-jerk reaction to Parrish losing in week one here. I was on the ground, and I feel like we've made enough excuses for Parrish already, but I'll make another one. I mean, if they don't turn the ball over four times, it could be a different game. Not to take anything away from All Saints. They flat out won that game, and they might be the better team. Obviously, they proved it the previous week. However, if Parrish doesn't just shoot themselves in the foot and then the leg and then the arm and the leg again, they'll be fine. I like Parrish a lot. EHS doesn't bring in a whole lot. They still have a lot of talent. I think this just pisses Novikov and Parrish off, and I'd hate to be EHS in this spot. Give me the Panthers. Walker Lot.
This is a fun one. This is an underrated matchup. And for some reason, a lot of people aren't talking about, especially I was watching the live stream last week when for the Parrish live stream for All Saints. And all they were talking about is like, yeah, it's going to be a tough slate, but you know, it's not as talented as All Saints. Episcopal walked into their house last year and took over. It was their house. And that was for Carson Gordon. That was Braylon Thompson. That was all those guys. They took over. And for some reason, a lot of people are forgetting they lost last year at Parrish. But I think this Episcopal team is really good. I think this team has a lot of dudes around the state. Christian Houston is going to replace Braylon Thompson, and he's going to be just as good. Maybe not as just as good, but he's going to be the real deal. And, you know, their DBs are going to have a little bit of trouble. This is also a matchup that you saw at the TXPS retreat in Christian Houston, Jalen Pyle. Remember that. But who do I have winning? I think they bounce back. I think Parrish gets this one. Underrated part, because I only found this out because I was watching the live stream, It is the first week in the new turf at Gloria Steinem Stadium, I believe, this year. I think they replaced the blue turf, made it better. And so this is week one, the first game on this turf. You can't lose on your brand new turf. You just can't. And I think the fumbles are going to get fixed. And I think that offense is going to be really good. This also is going to be very interesting to see. First big game for Coach Monahan at Bel Air Episcopal. He's the real deal. He was the DC last year, and he knows what he's doing. And that was the DC who stopped Parrish's offense and caused a lot of turnovers for them. That's the thing, how you beat all. That's how you beat Parrish Episcopal. If you make them turn the ball over, they don't win games. I know that's like every single football team, but especially with them, like that. Remember last year, like a couple interceptions, I think, by Braylon Thompson last year in that game. If you make them turn the ball over, you win games. But I just think they fix all the mistakes from week one. I think Parrish gets it done. Ryan, over to you.
This is what I literally said as I'm watching the broadcast for the Parrish All Saints game. Is I'm like, Parrish should have won that game five times over. Like All Saints, whether it be the unsportsmanlike penalties, whether it be the, you know, different plays where I was like, holy crap, like, you know, I truly think that Parrish should be, you know, winning this game. Four turnovers, multiple kickoff turnovers, like that all was screaming, this is Parrish just to win, Parrish just to win, Parrish just to win, and they didn't get it done. But you know what they did get done? They got done with Sawyer still throwing for, what, 284 yards, and his two top wide receivers in Carson Darby and Jalen Pyle having over 115 or about 115 yards apiece with a touchdown apiece. Like, those are two targets that he's still going to have week two with guys that they're still going to run the same program like that. Jalen Pyle is a talent like no other. Carson Darby, like I've described before, is a guy on the rise. I'm so high on him. And hence why, you know, it makes me feel favored toward Parrish like I have been for a while and like I was in this All Saints game. On the EHS side of things, though, I mean, how do you not talk about shutting out a 5A team, UIL 5A team, 49-0? That's insane. I know it's Waltrip, but, you know, 49-0, it's a UIL 5A team, is nothing to scoff at, especially the fact that this EHS program has been great for year in, year in, out. I don't know. I go back and forth on this a little bit. All these games are actually insanely good. This is the best non-district slate I think we've seen probably, you know, in quite a while, not including basically public school teams. These are all private school, really good matchups, I feel like. With that being said, though, I think this is the bounce back week for Parrish. Coach Novikov really flips the script here, and I think they get the win over EHS.
There we go. If we're on the wrong side of this one, it might be the end of this podcast because I can already see the bounce back that comes from it. But yeah, I mean, a fantastic game from a talent standpoint. You'd be hard pressed to find a better one. Keep an eye on Parrish versus EHS. Moving on. A DFW versus DFW game, Prestonwood at Fort Worth All Saints. Prestonwood is a 1.5-point favorite. This might be one of the more exciting games of the year. I've been saying I think this could be Prestonwood's year to make a run in Division One. Even with the departure of Tasby and Nivar, the Lions still have Harwell and Madison, and add a kid in at Luke Glass who knows the offense inside and out at quarterback. I think it's a recipe for success in Plano. A huge factor in this one is if Caden Collins can go. The senior running back is part of a two-headed monster with Takashi Shaw that makes the money for this Lions offense. You factor in guys like Enzo Bingham and Caleb Bingard, and the Lions have the talent to match up with almost anyone in TXPS. We've spoken at length about All Saints. The key to this game and where Parrish ultimately lost it is, can Prestonwood contain Parkhurst on the ground? Not even on design quarterback runs, but they would do well to have a dedicated quarterback spy. I honestly think Harwell is fast enough to pressure him, but there needs to be somebody whose sole responsibility is to sit and not take their eyes off of that man. Ultimately, I think Prestonwood matches up very well here, and that's why I'm going to pick them to win. If I didn't listen to the voices inside my head, which are saying you'd be an idiot to do that and you need to take All Saints. Dude, listen, after they come out and beat Parrish, what am I going to do? Turn around and pick them to lose? Listen, I I've done this long enough that I'm not going to get burned by the same pot twice. That didn't make sense. Same pot, same fire. I'm not going to get burned by the same thing twice. Listen, we've made so many excuses for Parrish losing that game. We need to credit All Saints for winning. They are that good. They are our favorites in Division II for a reason. Preston Wood has a chance to go and take D1. All Saints is in the driver's seat for D2. I think it's going to be – I think the spread is accurate on this one, maybe barring the wrong team. I think it's a 1.5-point game. I think it comes down to the final drive. I love All Saints. I love Parkhurst, Maynard, everyone on that team, especially Q. My goodness, what a freak. All that being said, love All Saints. Give me All Saints in this game. Walker Lot.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Put on for the city, 817. Give me Fort Worth All Saints. Gavin Parkhurst, you know the name now, and you're not going to stop him this week. Give me All Saints. Ryan?
Ryan Schroeder.
I know I don't want to be that short and sweet because I keep hyping up this game mostly because of the fact that I agree with you. I mean, this is one of the best games, and this is the determining factor of how this all shapes out from a cross division perspective. I'm gonna be honest here. I truly think this is a situation where we've seen Fort Worth All Saints truly show what they are. Gavin Parker is, like we've said now at this point, is like no other. You rush for the same amount of yards that you pass for. I mean, that's clearly insane. The clip we played it on repeat now at this point of him running 40 yards untouched down the field. I mean, that is insane. And at that, we haven't even mentioned the other guys on the field with Powell Freeman. Q obviously was the insane headset. Like, this is a team full of stars. And I flipped the script on that. Because how I talk about this game is in an aspect of, well, the flaws I saw in All Saints game. I see the flaws in the fact of, hey, you know, we're going to go down the field and we're going to put ourselves in position, but then we're going to hit ourselves. We're going to, you know, we talk about shooting yourself in the foot for Parrish. Fourth All Saints shot themselves in the foot a million times in that game. And I am truly a believer in the fact that, you know what? If you do something for the past 4 years, nothing's going to change. If you're getting unsportsmanlike penalties for the however many years at this point, and this is how these teams are, then that's going to happen. And in big games, it's going to even cause you more difficulties. I don't think they could do that 2 weeks in a row. Give me TJ Hobbs, give me Preston Wood, and give me a team that is out there to prove a point after losing to Parrish year in and year out. Because with this game, they solidify themselves as the number one team in that sort of area, besides Liberty. That's a whole different being. But they submit themselves above Parrish for maybe the first time since we've been doing this podcast.
That is, I don't think I could have scripted a better preview than that. Yeah, it's going to be electric. It's a game that I would absolutely be at if I wasn't about to preview this next game that I would not miss for all of the money on God's green earth. Grace Community at Dallas First Baptist. The spread is Grace minus 20.5, which just tells you that the computer knows absolutely nothing about football. The Pride of the Rose City will take I-20 West to Mesquite this time, not to do battle with Dallas Christian, but the Division IV powerhouse that is Dallas First Baptist. First Baptist are still the favorites in Division IV. How can they not be? With Mitchell, Anagostis, Rayson, Thomas, Mays, Foster, the list goes on. I honestly am not sure who Grace rolls out to cover Mitchell. He's that much of a mismatch on the outside. Grace's strength is their offensive line. Wilson, Masters, Wells, and Boone are veterans on this squad, and they will have to play like it to handle Arizona State offered Corey Thomas. McCade Stinson will handle quarterback duties for the Cougars after the departure of Zach Davis for legacy. He's not completely untested, as he was seen in spots last season, but it's going to be a significantly higher test for him to get the ball past Rayson to guys like Porter and Welch. Grace also has a decent amount of guys they brought in this year. I think they look good. It'll be tough in their division. I'm still high on them. First Baptist just has more top-end talent. I'll explain it on the podcast I was explaining to my grandmother earlier today. Great. First Baptist has, I think, four or five guys that'll go play Division I football. Grace doesn't have any. Zach Davis was that one guy. And with the departure of Grant Turner, I mean, they clearly don't have the top-end talent to compete here. However, the game's not always about top-end talent. Their offensive line, I'll never forget Greg Tepper coming on this podcast, one of the first ones we ever did. And basically after I went on this long spiel about what I analyzed, he said, yeah, but you didn't say anything about the trenches. I'm saying it now. The offensive line, Wilson, Masters, Wells, and Boone. I think that is where Grace makes their money today, even without star power like Grant Thomas, Grant Turner. I think they can go in and get it done. I'm wearing the Cougar backer shirts, for goodness sake. What do you think I'm going to do here? Pick against Grace? Grace is never the underdog. They're going to go in and win this game. Give me Grace to win against Dallas First Baptist. Walker.
Jeez.
You know,
we're letting this guy do this. I mean, what is this? I mean, what is this?
You think he leads the podcast and he can just do what he wants around here? Look, if I'm not many things, but one thing I am is a Wes Tolleson hater, and that entails everything in him, and that means his love for Grace Community. Not only is that the reason I'm taking First Baptist, and also I'm also taking it because they're absolutely the better team here. I love Quincy Reams. I love Caleb Mitchell. Who is going to guard Caleb Mitchell, Wes?
Everyone. We're going to put four guys on him.
Exactly.
Then you gotta who's covering Mays?
Who's covering Mays?
We'll take a linebacker. I don't care.
No,
also,
you're not.
New transfer from Byron Nelson, Amari Zamora. That's another dog for them. Man, Mark Rayson. Who's guarding Mark? I know he's going to be a running back, but no one's going to be able to stop him. This is a fun one because this is just I am getting worked up because I do think this is going to be a good game, and I think this is going to be a closer game than maybe expected. But I'm just getting worked up because I just need to see the downfall of Wes Tolleson in this one, and that means First Baptist winning by three scores. So give me First Baptist. Give me three scores. Give me. The Saints.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Coach LeVorne did not cook this roster up for it not to be a team of this high caliber. The clear favorites in D4. And there's no question. We finally have parity in every other league besides D4, it feels like. D3's. Maybe not. Maybe. Well, actually, Holy Cross. We actually have parity across every single league, including the SBC, besides D4. It's First Baptist. No doubt about it. They'll be there in December. Book it, right? I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of the best D4 teams we've ever seen in that capacity. And that's the reason why, no matter what you tell me, you can't guard.
This is D4.
What?
Grace isn't D4, they're D2. You keep talking about D4.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter because this is the best team I've seen in D4, and they're going to come out and whoop a D2 team's butt. And I'm telling you that right now. Okay? And then let me tell you this one more thing, too. You talk about O-line and the trenches and all that kind of stuff. Walker is a trenches advocate. They're going to throw it over top, dude. It doesn't matter. You aren't guarding these guys off the rip. These star power skill position players are doing what it's going to take to get the job done. Give me First Baptist. I don't honestly think it'll be close. I actually think this is going to be a four touchdown game. I'm so serious. Four touchdowns, book it, First Baptist.
I want to put one last thing, and then I'll let you finish your rant off and go off, Wes. I want to say this. If being a little bit more serious for a second, if First Baptist wins this game, that is the most, is that the biggest D4 win ever over a D2 team that made the second round of the playoffs last year in D2?
Okay, this is the only thing I'll say real quick to be fully serious about that. We talked about this, I think, I don't know if it was the last preview episode or the recap. 2 years ago was the best state of D4 we've ever had. It was a D4 that literally had contenders at every point in all that time. However, because they're all contenders, there's no true star power team at that point, I'd say. I don't know. I think you're probably right.
The Lubbock Christian teams could not beat a Division II team. Some of the Shiner St. Paul teams maybe, but like that's pushing it. That's very much pushing it.
Dude, those Shiner teams were incredible.
Just because they played differently than anyone you would ever see, and then you have the grit. So I think this is the, if they win against Grace, this is the biggest win in D4 history. I'm going to say that now, at least in the past 5 years since we started doing this. I also want to mention one last thing. First Baptist in that first game, if you go to Max Preps, they had two quarterbacks with over 100 yards passing.
Yeah. Yep.
They're running like a dual quarterback system over there at First Baptist, which I think is so interesting. I wonder if that's the type of thing where one guy started and then it just kind of blew out and then one guy took over. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. Even Agnostis got 77 yards on 7 passes. So, they're going to rotate some quarterbacks and it's going to be interesting to watch. But, Wes Tolleson, your floor, if you want to respond to what Ryan and I.
I'll say this in all seriousness. You know, in games in the past, like the Midland game and things like that, like I'm going to pick Grace because the name is Grace. And that's where I played for. And that's where my loyalties lie. If I had no affiliation with this game, I'm taking Grace. That's how much I ride with Grace. I think, especially us as analysts, have a tendency to get stuck on star power and overlook the overwhelming depth that one team might have relative to another. I think Grace is good. I don't think Grace is sexy this year at all. I don't think they have a Grant Turner that can go and score 7 touchdowns in a game. I think they are immensely deeper and really, really have a culture that's developed and have a chance to be really good. And I think the run starts with First Baptist. We'll see. I've got a track record of being wrong. I haven't mentioned this yet. I will be at this game. Incredibly excited to see it. Always nice to have a homecoming of sorts, even though it's in Dallas. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. It'll be a close game regardless. I'm really excited to see how it materializes. But with that emotionally charged preview concluded, that actually concludes all of our agenda for this episode. Gentlemen, as Ryan put it, I think this is shaping up to be the best non-district slate that we have seen in the 4 or 5 years we've been covering the sport. Incredibly excited to see how these games work out. Yet again, Walker will be at Fort Worth Christian Second Baptist. I will be at Grace versus First Baptist. We'll have several interns in various capacities covering games. A ton of content will be going on. Ryan will be whipping stuff up in the studio, getting some fantastic content going. It's going to be another fun week in Texas private school football. Walker Lott, any closing comments before we get out of here?
Nope, I think that's a great way to end it. So over to Ryan.
That's it, baby. Let's run it. Another week. Great, great week. I agree. Absolute great week.
This is
Let's do a great slate of games.
So, as always, I have been 1/3 of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the week 2 review on Monday. See you later.